Thank you for tuning in to the Heritage Church of God in Maumee, Ohio, where Senior Pastor Robert L. Fry has a great message from God's holy word. We'd love for you to come and join us at Heritage Church of God, where our motto is, a salvation experience makes you a member. We're located at 3520 Strayer Road in Maumee, Ohio. Look for the red brick church in the valley. If you'd like more information about Heritage Church of God, contact the office at 419-861-9520 or visit our website at heritagechurchofgod.org. Now, let's listen to Pastor Fry share a message inspired by God.
The scripture today is taken from Acts chapter 5. I'm just going to read a couple scriptures. Verse 33. When they heard this, this is the high priest, the scribes, the Sanhedrin, they were furious and wanted to put them to death, being Peter and his entourage that was preaching. But a Pharisee named Gamaliel, a teacher of the law, who was honored by all the people, stood up in the Sanhedrin and ordered that the men be put outside for a little while. Then he addressed the Sanhedrin, "Men of Israel, consider carefully what you intend to do to these men." And verse 40 says, his speech persuaded them. 41, the apostle left the Sanhedrin rejoicing because they had been counted worthy of suffering disgrace in the name of God. Day after day in the temple courts and from house to house, they never stopped teaching and proclaiming the good news that Jesus Christ is the Messiah. Our Heavenly Father, I pray today that you help us all to come to our faith. Help us to believe in the things that are good, the things that are right, and help us to stand for those things. And we'll give you the praise for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Now there's a story here that you need to hear before I get into the sermon. Verse 12, I just want to read, I'm just going to pull out a few scriptures because this is just an amazing story. The apostles had the message for the day. The apostles had the message that everyone needed to hear. And in every audience, I was told in college, in every audience that you speak to, you're going to have people that are going to try to find fault with what you say. You have people that need to be persuaded, but they're willing to listen. And you have people that are just going to accept anything you say. So what you've got to do is you've got to come somewhere into the middle in order to bring those in that are on the far sides, both sides. And in that lies leadership. Because if you're only leading 20%, you're not leading anything. You've got to be able to lead the 100% or the majority in order to make things move. But let me tell you this story before I get into the message, because the apostles in verse 12 perform many signs and wonders among the people. In verse 14 says, "Nevertheless, more and more men and women believed in the Lord and were added to their numbers." Verse 17, "Then the high priest and his associates, who were members of the Sadducees," and they are sad because they didn't believe in anything. So here we have the high priest and those who believe in nothing are coming against the disciples that are trying to do something. "And they arrested the apostles and put them in a public jail," not a private jail, public jail where everyone could see. "During the night, an angel of the Lord opened the door of the jail and brought them out. And he said," and it had to be true because if an angel didn't tell you or God didn't tell you, there's no way you would do what you just got arrested for doing. "The angel said, 'Go stand in the temple court,' he said, 'and tell the people about this new life.' At daybreak, they entered the temple court as they had been told and began to teach the people. And when the high priest and his associates arrived, they called together the Sanhedrin, the full assembly of the elders of Israel, political leaders. And they sent to the jail for the apostles. But when they arrived at jail, the officers did not find them there. So they went back and reported, "We found the jail securely locked, with the guards standing at the doors. But when we opened the doors, we found no one inside." On hearing this, the captain of the temple guard and the chief priest were at loss, wondering what this might lead to. Then someone came and said, "Look, the men you put in jail are standing in the temple courts teaching the people." I mean, that's just amazing. God would have to tell me to do that, because I don't think I could do that on my own. At that, the captain went with his officers and brought the apostles. They did not use force because they feared that the people would stone them. So the majority was coming along with the apostles, not with the high priest. Verse 27, the apostles were brought in and made to appear before the Sanhedrin to be questioned by the high priest. And the high priest said, "We gave you strict orders not to teach in this name," he said. "You have filled Jerusalem with your teaching and are determined to make us guilty of this man's blood, who is Jesus Christ." And Peter didn't say, "Well, I'm sorry, we didn't mean to offend anybody." Peter said, "We must obey God rather than human beings. The God of our ancestors raised up Jesus from the dead, whom you killed by hanging him on the cross." He said, "We're accusing you. You're afraid we're accusing you of killing him? We did. We are. You did it. But what I am telling you is God, the God of our fathers, who you claim to believe in, raised him from the dead." Verse 31 says, they were furious and wanted to put them to death. But a Pharisee, a leader, a member of the Sanhedrin, of the other group, of the opposing group, stopped everything and said, "You better think about what you're doing." And here's what he said. Gamaliel, a teacher of the law, who was honored by all the people, stood up in the Sanhedrin and ordered that the men be put outside for a little while. Then he addressed the Sanhedrin, "Men of Israel, consider carefully what you intend to do to these men. Some time ago, Thaddeus appeared, claiming to be someone, and about 400 men railed to him, and he was killed, and all of his followers were dispersed, and it all came to nothing. After him, Judas the Galilean appeared in the days of census and led a band of people in revolt. He too was killed, and his followers were scattered. Therefore, in the present case, I advise you, leave these men alone. Let them go. For if their purpose or activities is of human origin, it will fail. But if it is from God, you will not be able to stop these men. You will only find yourselves fighting against God." His speech persuaded them. I have never remembered our country as divided as it is today. I remember extremists in every group. Extremists that were so extreme that they would shoot and kill a president. They'd shoot and kill someone that just wanted equal rights, be able to eat in the same place every other American ate in, ride on the same bus that every other American and choose their seat. I remember them being killed, but it was by a splintered group over here that were so far this way that they couldn't see anyone beyond them. But I believe in America. I believe her best days are ahead. You know why I believe in America? Because I have dealt with people for over 40 years that have going through struggles and going through positions of opposition. You have it in the church from time to time, but you have it in marriage a lot of the time. You know, it's said, the old saying is, opposites attract. And that which draws you together will drive you crazy after you're married. And it seems like the more extreme a person is one way, they'll marry someone, the more extreme the other way. So if you got somebody that's really, really quiet and doesn't talk, that person, that man or woman, will marry somebody that just talks all the time. Because in that, stop elbowing each other, in that marriage, what the quiet one is looking for is a way that they can express themselves. They admire someone that can do that. And what the one that expresses themselves all the time is looking for is someone that can be quiet. They kind of wish that they didn't stick their foot in their mouth or they didn't say this when they said it. So they're looking for someone in that extreme. And it's in those extremes that we seem to fall apart. And I have dealt with many marriages, and I can tell you this. If you are extreme in one area, you need someone extreme in the other area in order to bring you to a functional position where you can make it. You deal with each other's strengths, not their weaknesses. But I can tell you, in a marriage, that sometimes they fail because of the fact that they don't see what they're giving up. They don't see what they can lose. They don't see why they need to be held together. They can only see their differences. They can't see that they have children. They can't see that they have property. They can't see that they have friends. They can't see that they have all these things. So they must come to some type of a compromise. In marriages, one usually wants to spend. The other wants to save everything. And so you fight over money. Well, you're spenders, you need somebody that can tell you to save. And you're savers, you need somebody to loosen you up. It's that way in marriage. The problem is, in a marriage, when you only concentrate on your differences, you are drawn apart to the point that you don't even want to be around each other. In this church, we have people who just are great Michigan fans. Want to wave your hands if you're a Michigan fan? All over, yeah, all over. Yes, sir. There's one team they don't like. And we have a lot of people that are Ohio State fans. Raise your hand. Don't yell, just raise your hand. But in church, we get along. In church, you'll see people standing talking with a Michigan shirt on to someone with an Ohio State shirt on. They don't look at the shirt, but they look. We have Bowling Green fans, and we have University of Toledo fans. We are different. Some people wouldn't drive a Chevy. Some people wouldn't drive a Ford. In America, we are different. We are called what's called the melting pot. And what we have experienced in this boomer's lifetime, we've experienced after World War II when we were united together. And we were. And things for America went well right after World War II. And people that had never had an automobile were driving nice automobiles. People were building new houses all across the country in the 50s and 60s. And things were going real good because we were united. We were Americans. But as we become complacent, we are divided today into what's called the right and the left. Let me tell you something. If you are on the right side of the aisle in Washington, in Congress, or the Senate, everything that you are saying today, 50% of the Americans don't like. And if you're on the left side, everything that you bring up and you say, 50% of the Americans don't like. Because we've allowed ourselves to become fans of one party or the other. Now, let's talk for a minute. I ran for Congress. And I'm as independent as you can get. And you say, well, then why did you run with a party line? because the guy that was in there, I didn't like what he was doing. He voted 99.3% of the time with a party. And I'm an American. I'm not a party person. So I think that someone, I should be able to express my opinion to them. And I couldn't do that. And I knew that if I ran with the opposing party, I would have 50,000 votes automatically. And I would also have some money to do something. As an independent, you come up with $5 million and I'll run again as an independent. But what I did do is I held on to my values. Everybody that I ran on this side with knew that I did not stand for everything they stood for. And the people over here that I could get the message out to knew that I stood for some things that they stood for. I'm pro-life. I didn't go to change. It's what I believe. My dad raised me. I had a gun when I was 10 years old. I've got 9 now. But I think that we're crazy not to have some gun control. Having these weapons as you just pull the trigger and you can shoot. Hard telling how many people just seems crazy to me. But I don't want to go there. What I want to tell you is why I believe in America. Because America, if we could get some people that would stand up in the middle and say, listen, we're going to have to come together to save America. We're going to have to do it. Because in order to save a home, you've got to come together as a husband and wife. If you want to have kids that are good kids and be good parents. If you tell your kids to be in at 11 o'clock and don't come in drunk, then don't drink and don't come in after 11 o'clock. If you don't want your kids to swear, don't swear. You can quit a lot of things, but until your heart gets right, you're not right. It don't matter if you quit drinking, you quit drugs, you quit cussing, you quit swearing. Until your heart's right, you're not right. In America, it doesn't matter what you're standing for until you stand for God and know who God is, your heart's not right. So we as Americans need to be Americans and stop this Republican and Democrat and tearing down and hate all over the country. We're buying into what they're feeding us. You don't have to hate the people who are in office. Go ahead and clap. Harder. We are Americans. When I put on the Navy uniform, I was an American. I didn't care if the person beside me was a man or a woman. I didn't care if they were red, yellow, black, or white. I didn't care if they were old or young. Well, the old ones tried to give me orders all the time, so I had a little trouble with them. But I knew we had one purpose, and that purpose was to try to find submarines coming into our airspace along the border of the United States. And we'd put on that uniform, both officers and non-officers, enlisted. And we'd get on that airplane, and we had one purpose. We were looking for the enemy that was trying to hurt us or harm us. I believe, it may not be in my lifetime, but I believe somebody's going to figure out if America's going to make it, we're going to have somebody that's an American that'll bring both groups together for the better of America. Have you noticed this in the last 15 or 18 years? A Republican president will stand up and say something and every Democrat will be against it, and the Democrat president said it just 4 years earlier. And they all praised it. We need some people that will stand up for what is right. We need husbands and wives that will get together and get their hearts together with God and say, we're going to build this thing. We're going to make this work. We have too much to lose if it doesn't. We need Americans that are going to lead, and we need people who are, right now we are electing the most extremist in both parties. But the next generation, I probably offended all of you already. That's okay. Not yet. Not yet. All right. I'm coming after you. The next generation might just want to see things work. When I sit down with a husband and wife that are in their 30s and they have three little children and their marriage is on the brink, here's what I don't want to hear. I don't want to hear the husband say, well, I agree with this in principle, but I got to go talk to my dad. I don't want to hear a wife say, I agree with this in principle, but I need to go talk to my best girlfriend. When you have people in the room that cannot make a decision, you cannot come together. And when we have a Congress and a Senate that's bought and paid for by interest other than ours, and what I'm telling you is this, if America would vote, America would get Americans in Congress. But America sets out, and they don't vote. When you have 5% turnout, if you want things changed, then change them. The things in our church, some of your Assemblies of God, some of you are Baptist, some of you are Lutheran, some of you are Presbyterian, some of you are Catholic, some of you. You know why we get together? Not because we agree on every point of doctrine in the Scripture. It's because we agree on Jesus Christ as Lord. And if Jesus Christ is Lord, and it's my job to keep that topic front and center right here in this church. And I try to do that with the best that I can and adhere to the Scripture. And we have that. You don't want me to come up here and say, you know, I know you trust me and I know you love me, but let's just lay the Scripture aside for a while, and here's what I think we need to do. That's why we have a Constitution in the United States. But remember this. Constitution is not the Bible. They've had amendments to that Constitution. They had one amendment, you couldn't drink alcohol. I kind of hated it when they repealed that one, but I wasn't around to complain. Okay? So claiming you can't touch it is a little ridiculous. We've touched it. We've messed with it all through our history. But it is our guideline, and it is our basis. But I think the next generation, maybe not mine, but I believe opposites attract. And I'm sure glad that one party doesn't lead everything. Because an architect will marry an engineer. And an accountant will marry they'll marry an artist. Not one that paints by numbers either. I mean, this is what makes things work. Makes things work because if we're going to be the America we need to be, and we're going to be the people that we need to be, we need to hear from both those who are designers and those who are builders. We need to believe in, we need to have a heart, and we also need to have rules. But you can't have just rules, you got to have a heart too. And that's where I think the next generation just may come along and say, you know what? I can't be bought. Don't matter how much money you put in that campaign, I'm working for the people in my country. I don't have to go talk to some CEO to find out about. And you know what else is going to happen in my generation? I hate to just keep going, but you know what else is going to happen? These CEOs that are making and these ball players that are making $30 million a year and $200 million a year, they're going to die, and that money has to go somewhere because they can't take it with them. And this next generation is going to understand they didn't take it with them. So you're going to have guys that are going to design Facebook and come up with the idea, but they're going to hire a ton of engineers to make it work. You're going to have the Henry Fords that's going to come up with an automobile that people can afford to drive, but he's going to hire tons of engineers to make it work and work better. We must have both groups in America working together in order to have the America with the dreams that we need to have. In this church, those who are in the Tea Party and those who are in the Bernie Sanders group can sit down together and eat a hot dog together and can talk about the Lord together and the weather together, and they know what subjects to stay away from because we're here to try to unite, not divide. Preacher, would you ever run for Congress again? As an independent, but I need $7 million. So no, the answer is no. Let us stand. Well, sit still. I believe America has the best years ahead because I think we're going to work this mess out. Our Heavenly Father, bless the kids now as they come in. Bless the food we're about to partake of after they sing, and bless our fellowship together. In Jesus' name, amen.
You've been listening to Pastor Robert L. Fry from Heritage Church of God in Maumee, Ohio, where a salvation experience makes you a member. If you've enjoyed Pastor Fry's message today, we'd love for you to come and join us at Heritage Church of God. We're located at 3520 Strayer Road in Maumee, Ohio. Just look for the red brick church in the valley. If you'd like more information about Heritage Church of God, or you'd like to receive a copy of today's message, contact the church office at 419-861-9520 or visit our website at heritagechurchofgod.org. And this has been a Heritage Church of God audio outreach ministry.